First Timothy chapter 4, excuse me, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy 3, 15. First Timothy 3:15. You know how they have interpreters in churches now for the deaf or different things? We ought to have one for mothers with children, you know. Pastor says something, they go by and say, he's all right. It says this in 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay? So the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's bringing up the idea that he may not be able to get to Timothy right away. He wrote him a letter. We know from the subscript of the letter that Timothy is the first bishop of the church of the Ephesians. In other words, there's a lot of different churches in Ephesus. They look to one to be the first bishop in the sense he's probably the first ordained there. But I would imagine the others look to him for counsel and guidance also. I'm going to bring this up. We are what's called an independent Baptist church. In the constitution of the church, it's very clear that we don't owe allegiance to any other church organization. So it's not like New York City can call and say, hey, we want this changed, or Denver can call, or anything of that sort. This congregation here is the final authority for what goes on here. Okay? It's the final authority. And so Paul said that you might know how to behave yourself in the house of God. Now, you have something, for example, where it says, for example, in the subscript of this letter, Timothy is the first bishop of the Ephesians. It might be that we listen to the counsel of someone else. We're just not obligated to follow the counsel. Should a man of God come in here and preach something and we're all moved and say, yes, that is certainly true, then we as a congregation, we could elect to say, yes, let's follow what this man says. But we are under no obligation to do so, okay? It's an independent Baptist church. And you'll find Baptist churches all over the United States that are affiliated one way or another with a larger organization and owe dues. They have to follow rules for those organizations and such. Paul and Dick, I think you could tell me, wasn't it Francisco that really got us out of that. Yeah, Elmer Francisco that was the first to lead the church out of affiliation. Okay? And, you know, the church went for a long time just called the Independent Church of Black Creek. Later on, everyone was resolved, yes, we are Baptists. They've been functioning as Baptists for many, many years, but they took that upon them as the title. Now, what I have here tonight, I have my proposition of what the Constitution should look like, okay? What does that mean? I have no more authority to change this Constitution than Chris does, than Dale does, than Jennifer does, than Dick does, and than Tanya does, than any other member in this church. No more authority whatsoever. The only way this Constitution of this church can be changed by this church's rules is a two-thirds vote in a regular meeting, and it won't be done on a Wednesday night. You can be sure of that, okay? It'll be done in a regular quarterly meeting with everyone having had a chance to look at those things and to put their voice in, as their voice being absolutely as important as any other voice here, okay? Now, some of you have been in the process. For example, the elders, I've been giving them copies. Asking. I've been getting back some pretty good feedback. Pastor Hain, for example, has really found mistakes and little things here and there and where it's disjointed. Tonight, there are 9 other copies sitting on that table over there. If you're the head of a family or someone, representing the family, take a copy with you. If you're going to read it, okay? If you want me to email you a copy, which would be nice for me, I'll have to print off less in the long run, send me an email. I sent one to Neil and Ashley the other day. They wanted one and such. I'll email you a copy. Paul, the one you have, there's been a few little corrections here and there made, so you want a fresh one, okay? You want one of the absolutely new ones so everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be. And I will have more on Sunday. This I was just able, in fact, there'll be 10 altogether because I've got one, there's 9 over there, and I've got it on my computer. In making this Constitution, I did a couple of things. One is I tried very hard to follow the wording of the old Constitution. For one thing, I'm pretty sure that when Elmer Francisco wrote the old one, he did the same thing. The reason I say that is we have a booklet in the back. I believe Miss Pam is the historian, has the booklet right now. But that booklet was published in the 1870s. By the Congregationalists as a brand new booklet telling how congregational churches should be run. Now, if you know anything about Congregationalists, they run very similar to the Baptists in the sense that the congregational vote takes care of everything and such. That booklet probably is the only thing we have that comes from R.A. Torrey. If it doesn't come from R.A. Torrey, it comes from his exact period of time that he got out of college and came here, okay? So that's probably, and what Elmer Francisco wrote borrows passages from that booklet, okay? So my guess is that each constitution followed that booklet, and all Elmer did is make sure that it fit Baptist doctrine and what we do here. So I've done my best to keep what the form of what was originally written, okay? There are some things that we, by practice, have never done since I've been here according to the Constitution. Why? Because, for example, we don't have an organ, okay? So we don't do things that way. We voted to change to have a music director. But our Constitution tells us to have an organist, okay? So that's changed in this Constitution. We have a music director, we don't have an organist. There are some things on membership that have been changed. How to join this church has not changed. How to be dismissed from this church changed a little bit. You still have to go through Matthew and follow, you know, if you have a brother that's not doing right, you have to, it says so. I could give you a phone number of a man that's on my phone directory. You could talk to him right now what happens when a church does not follow that. And we got a young lady sitting back there who could tell you another story what happens when a church does not follow that. But the church actually was dragged into court. And a judge ordered them to put that man back in the church. And it split the church. And why? They didn't follow their own constitution, okay? And therefore, you told the state of New York you would follow it, okay? That's what we did. We told the state of New York, this is our constitution. And they said, okay, we're not interfering, but we promised them we'd follow our constitution. Therefore, it's absolutely important that we have a constitution that really is what we really do, not what we did 50 years ago, okay? So that changed. The title of deaconess changed. The Apostle Paul talks about Phoebe, servant of the Church of Centuria. That's what he called a woman who helped, took care of things. So in the new constitution, my choice, I'm one person in this, is to call the women servants of the church, okay? That's what they are. They're to serve the church in the judgment seat of Christ, that'll be the highest title you could ever have. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest of all, be the servant of all. Okay? So in other words, of all the titles that we'll give in this Constitution, that has the most honor in heaven, being called a servant of the church. One of the things we did is we changed it from 2 to 3. We have 3 trustees, 3 deacons. Why not 3 servants of the church? And then it says that they elect one amongst themselves to handle that, okay? So the other thing that we did, and perhaps the most controversial, is the church will forbid its elders to do marriages in this church or in the church's name as far as civil marriage. Now, what do I mean by civil marriage? Well, my son and Daniel, who comes here, and Jennifer, went to a justice of the peace to get married. They had a bad situation, and bad in many ways. Her parents wouldn't recognize anything than a Roman Catholic wedding. And Ruth Ann and I certainly aren't going to have them staying under our roof, not married. Okay, that's not going to happen. Okay, they're welcome to come sit at the table, we're friends, everything else, but if you're staying here, you're going to be in separate beds. You're not married. Okay, so to honor us, they went to a justice of the peace and got a civil marriage. Okay, we recognize that as fine. But to honor her parents, later they went to the Catholic Church and had a church marriage with the priest understanding this isn't, you know, they're already civilly married, we'll have a church marriage. Monica, what used to be Hain, who is now Bradfield, Pastor Hain's daughter, when she went to get married in Northern Ireland, she and Mark went to the Justice of the Peace, got married, and then drove to the church for the church marriage. That's the only way you can have a church marriage in England, unless you get married in the Church of England. Okay? Church of England is the only church allowed to sign a civil marriage certificate. Okay? Our country, we couldn't set up one denomination to do that. We have the First Amendment. Therefore, all denominations have that right. But here's what's happened. Our country now has invented a new form of marriage. Okay? It's not what the Bible calls marriage. We do not recognize it as marriage. Okay? But if you want to collect, on your wife for income taxes, and you want to be honest before the eyes of the law, you'll go get a civil marriage. Okay? I myself am going to, if somebody tells me they're married in this church, I want to see you did it by the law. But if you want to have a church ceremony afterwards, come and have one. We'll have a church ceremony here. The bride walk down the aisle and everything else. What this church will not do under the proposed Constitution is this church will not allow me to sign that certificate. Because if I do, then I'm obligated, if 2 men or 2 women come here, to do the same thing for them. Okay? And already there are lawsuits around the United States on that very issue. Okay? So we're just giving it back to the state. That's Caesar's invention, this new marriage thing. That's not God's. We recognize marriage as between a man and a woman. We'll do a ceremony all day long for people who qualify for our religious purposes. For what the state does, go to a state person to do it. Okay? Now, let's say, for example, that John was made a local judge. Jim was made one. Dale was. Something of that sort. They would have the right, or a town clerk, they would have the right to sign a marriage certificate. That's fine. You just don't do it in the church's name. Pastor Hain, for example, had a marriage at Little Rock or Rock City in Olean, where he married one of his kin, grandson. That's fine, just you're not doing it in the church's name, you're not doing it in the building, okay? We're not stopping someone from this church from doing it. You just will not do it in the church's name or in the church's building. So if someone said, hey, you know, let's say, for example, that finally Caleb and Katie will work it out the next couple years or whatever, and it really is going to happen, and Caleb's got a steady job, you know, and such, and Katie quit sucking her thumb, and we think, all right, we've come to that point. Then here's what I would say to do. Set it up with the town clerk to be over there, okay? Go get them to sign over on the town property and such, and then the bride and groom come here and have his marriage ceremony, okay? But we're not the ones signing that deed. We're giving that back to Caesar. That belongs to Caesar. We're giving it back to him. If the laws should ever change again, I'm not against changing that. I just don't want to get this church involved where it must take people. For example, I've already had Judy Enders. She wants her granddaughter to get married. I don't have a problem with Judy Enders' granddaughter getting married to her, but I explained to her, you they cannot sign the certificate here, nor can the official person doing the marriage sign it. Okay? You will get for the town clerk, a judge, someone else to sign that marriage certificate. Then you come here and have a ceremony. Okay? That's, to me, very reasonable. We get people who from time to time, because of a past affiliation with this church, it's beautiful, they want to use the church. I've never denied people like that. Marion Parker and Gilbert Parker, they got married here. Their granddaughter wanted to get married here. It's a... That's fine, you know, we let them do that. If we let one person, then we have to let everybody. So that's why they have to follow the same rules we follow, okay? But since it's a religious organization and all we're doing is they're having a ceremony, we don't have to let a couple sodomites come here and have a ceremony, okay? There's nothing that forces us to do that. They can sue all they want. And if they suit us, then take it all away. We're not going to bow on that. Okay, that's, you know, I'd rather us meet somewhere in the back of somebody's garage than to bend on that and have to see Jesus Christ somewhere. Okay, over that. So those are some things that are changed in this. One of the things we did change is this: of old, if a person quit coming to church, after a significant period of time, you had to write them a letter, and then you had to go and do some things if they quit coming to church. I deleted that. Why? Because in most cases, and by the way, we don't mean quit for 3 weeks. Talks about a year. Okay, 1 year, they don't come to any services at this church. Now, in most of those cases, the last thing they want is us showing up at their door. That's just going to cause hostility. So we have just put down that we can, if they have missed for 1 year with no good cause. Okay, let's say Sam's over in, you know, England trying to take it back from the Muslims or something. Okay, and such. Well, that's a good cause to be gone for a year. Okay, Jerry Feister is in a nursing home. That's a good cause to be gone for a year. Okay, obviously no one's going to do that. But we have other people who they've let us know they're not happy here anymore, they've gone. Why make it a huge issue?
That's right.
At the end of a year, it just says we can dismiss them from the rolls, it's done. If it's all a big mistake, all they do is come back and say, hey, I want to be a member, and go through what we would with anybody else, okay? They haven't prejudiced themselves over ever becoming a member here again. So I've eased that a little bit, how that's handled, okay? Just because in reality, we have not sent out such a letter in probably 30 to 40 years, okay? You'd get sued over that kind of thing because you're not doing it like you promised the state you'd do it, okay? So what we're trying to do with this Constitution is bring it to what we're currently doing today. So with that in mind, you take it, read it through. If you see things, you think, hey, whoa! Your voice is just as important as anyone else's. Now, I'll tell you a story real quickly. Ruth Ann and I were in a church with a man by the name of Leonard Strickland, was a deacon in the church. Leonard Strickland was mostly Cherokee Indian. Never knew how to read and write, but by golly, loved to hear preaching, loved the Word of God, had a good sound conversion. Later on in life, he actually did learn to read and write. Went to an adult learning class and learned and such. But absolutely upright citizen. At one time, he'd been an alcoholic. He cut all that out and such. And Pastor Randall used to call him Tomahawk. You know, his deacon. Old Tomahawk, what do you think? But the thing is, old Tomahawk, Leonard Strickland, got called to jury duty. And when he went to jury duty, the judge asked, is there anyone sitting here who feels they should not be on jury duty for one reason or another? Old Strick raised his hand. And the judge says, why? And he said, well, I want to be, but you need to know I can't read and write. So the judge said, thank you, Mr. Strickland, for telling us that. And then he said, do you work a job? Yes, sir, I do. Do you pay your taxes? Yes, sir, I do. Do you pay your bills? He said, yes, sir, I do. He said, well, you're the kind of man we want on this jury, okay? So it turned out to be a case, kind of complicated, about a contractor at someone's house, and the people were suing the contractor, and the contractor was suing the people. They're all mad at each other, pulling hair out, and all these forms, and everything was going through. Well, at the end of the day, the jury wanted to just throw the book at the contractor. Leonard Strickland said, no. He said, I think they're both nuts. He said, that contractor needs to pick his materials up and go home and not sue them for one more dime. And those people just need to hire another contractor to come and handle it. And they just need to stay away from each other. And this court just needs to bang the gavel and tell them to do it. That's what they need. Well, everybody in jury was mad at them. They couldn't settle. Had to come back the next day. The next day, all five educated people said to him, Mr. Strickland, thank you. We thought about it all night. You're exactly right. Okay? You're exactly right. So the point is, what is that? You might feel like an insignificant person in this church. But you're not insignificant. Okay? Your voice is necessary in the process we're doing. It might be that 50 years from now, should the Lord tarry, and the Constitution needs to be looked at again, that maybe one of your children will remember your voice. One of your grandchildren, somebody will remember when you spoke up and said something. That is as important a heritage as you can possibly give them. Okay? So, take a chance and look at it. Okay? Or take a while, or not a chance, take a while and look at it. Here's what my hope is. I would like, by regular business meeting in January, to be able to vote this Constitution in first thing, as long as everyone has had adequate chance to look at it, comment on it, and think about it. And I would like to vote in our officers and bring them in. Now, I've already asked Jim if he would write something up about what he considered the duties of the trustees. Got Dick, John, and Dale all looking at it, okay? What do they consider? Do they consider this to be what the trustees should really be doing? If everybody that's a trustee, I would like to see Dick Harbeck become trustee emeritus at this next one. There's times Dick is as healthy as anyone here. He can come to every meeting, we listen to him. There's other times he isn't healthy, and then he feels guilty because he's not here. As emeritus, he doesn't have to do that, okay? One of the things that's changed in this Constitution is this. If we have an emeritus, for example, we have a pastor emeritus in this church. If I died, if I resigned, or if I got caught smoking in the boys' room and got kicked out, okay? Automatically, he would become the interim because he's the emeritus until such time as whatever could go on. So if we had someone who became emeritus, so if Dick Harbeck becomes trustee emeritus, he's involved in every meeting he wants to be involved in. But if we lost a trustee, he instantly fills that spot again, okay? That's what an emeritus would do. So it allows an overlap between the old and the new. It allows the old wisdom to stay with the church and also gives an orderly way. Now, we won't always have an emeritus, okay? But if we do have one, that would be the position. An emeritus would always be a voted on title. Yes, this person is emeritus in this field, okay? And then we want them to have that title, okay? So that is another thing that you'll find in this Constitution. But, and again, I may be forgetting something big right now. You know me, I'll get up here and forget things. So read it over, find out, look what's in it. Now, another thing that I want to do, I want to convene a quick business meeting right now, because on Sunday we had two new families that talked about wanting church membership. Each one of them has talked with me. Then the next step is they're to talk to the deacons. Very important thing for the deacons, okay? They talked with Paul and they talked with Jim. If Jim or Paul told me, look, I think there's a problem here, we wouldn't go forward. Our Constitution would not let us go forward with that, okay? So they're an important filter process in this. Is the pastor missing something or whatever, you know? Both of them have told me they're comfortable with them, in fact, glad that they're going to be members, okay? One of those are the Fords. Neil and Ashley have come forward for membership. And then the other one is the Gilberts, and Gilbert and Jane Gilbert, okay? I have other motives for wanting them to more quickly. You know me, when people come here, I don't like to push people, hurry them, anything of that sort, okay? But I've been here 8 years. In that 8 years, I have not raised up anyone that I'm prepared to make a deacon. Okay? Now, in some ways, that's a failure on my part. Okay? If I were to judge a man and make a scorecard for him, that's one of the things I'd be looking for. Okay? But I can't write, you know, that I did that. There are other things I would score myself pretty high. But in reality, that's one of the things I would think you judge a man on. But God has sent me some men recently that I'm very comfortable that my nomination, I'm going to ask the elders to nominate, that those men become deacons in the church. So then, once we've nominated them, I'm going to ask them to do the same thing that Jim's done. I would like them to carve out a role, what they consider deacons ought to do. Once that's carved out, then the church will vote. Yes, we agree. Okay? That's why it's important that John and Dick and Dale have, that you all look at it, because I'm going to have the church vote and say, yes, this is the role of trustees. This is what they ought to do. Okay? So, if indeed everyone follows my reason, and it doesn't mean that you have to. For example, we will meet probably at Dick Harbeck's house somewhere in early January, and we'll come up with a church budget, and we'll come up with nominations for these offices. But let's say that you disagree. Let's say that when it's all said and done, Chris thinks, hey, this is a mistake. Constitution makes it clear. He can nominate someone else right from the church floor, okay? You know, he can nominate somebody else, and they would be on the ballot as much as anyone else. So it doesn't mean that what we meet in closet here, that everyone, these are the only people that you can bring up. Others can be brought up. We're not a huge church. And we don't have a lot of people who are necessarily even ready or eligible. For example, I'll go into that in a bit here. But the point is, we don't have a lot that can or would be willing or would do it. So I don't think it's something where we're just trying to maneuver our little gang in something like that. I think we really are looking who would, who could, all right, do it. But if you differ with that, tell us ahead of time. If you think of last moment, you have every right at a church meeting to nominate anyone that you want, and they will be considered as much as the people, the elders, put down, okay? They will be considered that much. And that's how the process works. Now, this church has been going consistently since 1822. In that period of time, it's had two women pastors. Dick probably remembers one of them, all right, 1939. Had a woman back. Had another one in 1911. How do you think back about that? Now, that's all, but you have to understand they were actually Salvation Army type women. Actually, probably more of a man than most pastors are today. All right? And I don't say that, and I mean that in a mean sense. I mean that compliment. I've always said for a while Margaret Thatcher was the only man in England, you know that. I don't mean that as a mean sense. But at the same time, obviously, we would never vote in a woman to be a pastor now. There's been times in this church it's dwindled down to almost nothing. It did once in the 1920s. It came down to the point that they almost weren't going to have Sunday meetings here anymore. Then it revived again for a while. It dwindled down to very few people 8-9 years ago. God revived it again. God is not done with his church, okay? There's probably no living person here who is the reason for that. You'd probably have to go to the graveyards and find some people who died a while ago, who died in faith and prayer and begged God for this church, okay? And God's been honoring that prayer ever since and keeping this church going. Probably so. I do know that I had 11 people when I got here who really remind me of Churchill's feud when he said this, never have so many owed so few for so much. Okay? In other words, those few held a church together, held it open against all odds, when everybody laughed at them, prayed each night, God used this church as a light for this valley, and today God has answered that prayer and God's doing it. Okay? So we would like that to continue. That's why these processes are so important, that we know how to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the church, that we know how to do it. We want to be able to pass on to our children what was passed on to us, okay? And that's the important thing in this. So read these things over. Now with that, I'm going to call a meeting to order here. So Father, I pray that you would bless as we consider the Fords and we consider the Gilberts for membership in the Black Creek Baptist Church. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, quick question, Ashley. I know that Gracie has a good profession of faith and has been scripturally baptized. Would you like her to join with us? She would be a voting member, but would you like her to be a member? You would be able to consider that. That's fine. Okay, I just want to make sure I wasn't ignoring if that's what you guys wanted. So first, we'll go with the Fords. And do I have anyone who will make a nomination that Neil and Ashley Ford? All right, we'll take Tanya, and then Amy will second that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, any opposed? Go face her. No. Look on her. She's got a pretty thick skin there from the last year. All right. Then next will be Ed and Jane Gilbert. Now, some of you don't know them as well. Ed right now is milking cows. Okay, that's what he does. He's got a milking herd of 40 cows. And if you know anything about him, he went bankrupt because the electric company electrified his barn and destroyed his original dairy herd. Took a long time to understand what was going on. They straightened that out. After bankruptcy, he went and became organic, one of the hardest things to do. You have to, for 5 years, milk a herd where you get almost no money. And then at the end of that, you were declared organic, and now your milk is worth a lot of money. But it'll take him, he's 67, it'll be a long time before he ever digs out the hole he was in. But he's a hardworking man.
Sure.
So he and his wife, who've gone Rushford for years, they've been at Hume for a while. Farmersville, each of those places has gone liberal. They've asked if they can become members here. Both of my deacons told me that they were very comfortable with them. So do I have anyone that makes a nomination? Dale makes that nomination. Chris seconds that nomination. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Then carried by acclamation. Next Sunday, and this is something now, here's something here. I've never been in a church that functioned like this one does. You just have to understand, I was raised in an Anabaptist church as far as when I got saved. So this idea of being church membership is new to me.
Yes, I was not at church membership, he was angry, didn't know, all right? And, but, it's just the way it was, all right? So the thing is, Jim brought up to me today, we're not doing the right hand of fellowship, right? So Sunday, we'll do that, we'll bring them up, shake hands, and everyone greet them, and grant them the right hand of fellowship. But as they say in the movie Oliver, for after some consideration, consider yourself one of us, all right? All right, do I have a motion to close this meeting? All right, Chris makes a motion, Dale seconds it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried by acclamation. All right, so real quick, let's take some prayer requests.